Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Let them rock and roll.
They go jumbo formation, an extra lineman in the game. Kroski Merritt streaks to the outside. He's in again. Touchdown, Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt and Washington.
The Fox telecast, Kevin Burkhardt on the call of one of a couple of Bill touchdowns yesterday. 24 hours from now, 5 o'clock tomorrow, Tuesdays with Bill. He will be with us right here in our 5 o'clock segment. Show sponsored exclusively by the law firm Condori & Murat, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are there to protect you and your family's assets. So schedule a consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com and mention us to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tempered Automotive Group. Tempered Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters. Tempered Lincoln and Chantilly and Tempered Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tempered for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, see and shop them all at Tempered.com.
Rude guest hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We find our guy, Jay Gruden, the former head coach here in town. Jay, how about that road win? You're down 10-0. Everything seems to be going badly. Chargers moving, trying to get up 17-0, turn the ball over. Then they've got a chance to go up 17-7 on a punt return touchdown. Penalty negates it, and Washington doesn't give up another point the rest of the way. Second half shutout, they win going away.
Yeah, that turn of events there on the punt, Tressway got his leg ripped off, and it was a great call. But instead of a touchdown, Chargers, Washington held the ball, got a field goal at the end of the half to tie it, and then opened up the third quarter. They started fast again in the third quarter, go up 17-10, and never looked back. And that's what good teams do. They jump on a lead in the second half, and they don't turn back. They play great defense and complimentary football, and that's what happened.
Jay, what did you make of Jaden Daniels' start and then his overall complete game?
I think he played great, man. He looked a little rusty, but he actually made the right play on some of them. Throwing them away was smart. Keeping himself out of harm's way. You know, they called a design quarterback run early in the game, which I was like holding my breath over. He almost got killed. But overall, I mean, Jaden played winning football again. He makes the right decision. He's accurate with the football. He scrambles when he has to scramble and doesn't put his team in harm's way. Only took one sack despite some pressure. And the kid's an awesome player, man. Whenever you have him on the field, you got a chance to win, that's for sure.
You mentioned the designed run on the second play of the game. I actually loved it. For two reasons. One, the Chargers have been very susceptible statistically this year to quarterback runs. So I thought either by way of just designing some looks for him, you could take advantage of that. Or secondly, if they're going to adjust knowing now, oh, his knee's fine, they're going to run him, maybe it opens some things up in the traditional running game for Kroski Merritt or whatever. So one way or the other, I thought it was really, really smart. I'm with you. I was a little nervous. But didn't you think that was part of the plan from Cliff? Because they just nobody had given up more explosives to quarterbacks.
I hear Josh Allen all the time say he likes to get hit early in the game just to get his pads rattled a little bit. And maybe that's what Jaden felt like. Maybe Jaden said, hey, give me a quarterback design run early just to make sure my knee's feeling good. I want to get hit. And I want to get the pads popping and feel part of this football game. That could have been part of it too. But, yeah, I think the versatility that they have in the running game is like no other team in football, you know, with Lamar being out, obviously. The way they pull their tackles, read ends, and quarterback design runs. And, I mean, Merritt had a touchdown run that I think – you or I might have been able to score on. He just walked in the end zone for about 15 yards. And it's fun to watch the running game. They've really done a great job. You know, a lot of these experts are saying the only way to run the ball is under center. That's not true anymore. Washington has proven you don't have to be under center to be an effective running football team.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. So the big play of the game where momentum turns is the Quan Martin forced fumble, right, where the Chargers are walking down to potentially score again. But offensively after that, where the only thing that stopped them was a Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt fumble. Otherwise, they scored on every other possession. What do you think they found offensively there on that third possession post-fumble that they recovered?
I think they just had great balance, really. I think Washington and Cliff Kingsbury had it dialed in, you know, with the run and the pass, and they're averaging a good clip running the football. They were doing different design type runs, and obviously Jaden was effective with the passing game. Debo got involved. You know, they had a key third down. Jeremy McNichols had a nice catch on third down to get a first down, and they just had great balance going on, and they're hard to stop when you have such good balance going on. And Jaden sets his feet. He's got great poise in the pocket, was accurate with the football on critical throws, and you know, obviously the big play with Luke McCaffrey was huge at the end of the half. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you stop this team right now moving forward with all the things that they could do, the variety of plays that they have out of the shotgun.
Let's talk Bill. 14 for 111 and two touchdowns. Now, you mentioned one of the scores, both of them, in fact, it was untouched. And this was his best game in terms of yards before contact. Clearly, they blocked it up pretty well. I think he had 59 yards before he was touched, which was a season high for him. But there have been a lot of runs that weren't that way this season. What do you see from this seventh-round pick when you watch him?
He's got good vision, for sure. He's got good burst in and out of holes, and he's very decisive in what he does. There's not a lot of hesitation. A lot of times backs are hesitating in the hole, and they're not sure where to go. Then they make a move, and it's too late. This guy really has good vision and patience, but when he makes a decision to make a cut, he is gone. And that is very impressive for a young kid, very decisive runner, and he's got enough speed to get you on the outside. And, you know, in between tackles, he's got enough patience to find the hole, let the hole open up, and use his pads. You know, he's got to work on the ball security. Can't fumble anymore. Mr. Merritt can't fumble anymore, but very impressed with the way he's playing.
When you see a guy break out like this and play at this level, how do you determine as a coach if it's, you know, a guy on a heater and a good story or whatever, or if it's actually sustainable and replicable? And he's leading the NFL in yards per attempt. He's averaging 6.5. He looks like the real deal. Like, how legit do you think he is?
Well, you know, I think this is a long season, and I think that teams will get to know him a little bit more the more he gets the ball. You know, I like the fact that he's right around 10 to 15 touches a game. I really like that. I don't know if he's going to be as effective at 20, 25. Obviously, if he's getting 20, 25, the running game's working, so maybe that's a bad statement. But I just think him being fresh, being effective at 15 touches a game is very impressive. 14 carries and two catches at 16, that's a great number for him because he's going to have bursts. And then you throw in Chris Rodriguez for 4 or 5 carries, McNichols for a couple. And I think you got a great approach right there. And then Jaden get his 7 or 8 touches. So, yeah, I think the way they're approaching the running game is solid and effective. They're doing a great job with the way they're dispersing the attempts.
What do you make of how they're using Debo Samuel?
I like it. You know, Debo's perfect. You know, he's, you know, in the passing game, he's doing a little bit of different things. They tried him on a deep ball. He got gloved up, but he's getting in between zones. He's a great receiver, a great friendly target, finding zone coverage holes. And that's where he is, makes his hay, and then running after the catch, obviously. You know, not as many carries on screens and all that stuff as he had in San Francisco, but I think having 11 targets is impressive and catching 8 of them. And another touchdown, an unbelievable throw by Jaden, by the way, the touchdown, an all-out blitz drifting away. I mean, my God. But, yeah, Debo's a great player. He's a great chess piece for Cliff.
That throw was unbelievable that you were just talking about. That's just one that a lot of guys can't make, and it puts the game on ice. It reminded me a little bit of the Bengals play, which was a better throw probably last year. But you know, even though that was a higher degree of difficulty, they're both just like elite throws on the road to end a game, and you got the guy, and they don't, and it just – I mean, it was really, really cool. I thought it was his second best play.
4th and 8. Yes. Cover 0, 4th down and goal. He's got to make a play. There's 3 rushers all over the place. He just drifts with no fear whatsoever, just drops a dime in the back corner of the end zone. I mean, it's not many guys are going to do that. It's just the poise that he has. That he's effortless and just accepting rush and seeing rush coming. And there's a couple other plays where free runners are coming. A right tackle gets beat. He makes a miss and moves around and hits Debo for a 20-yard gain. So, his pocket presence is really top of the line when it comes to quarterback play in the National Football League.
His touch is outrageous. But my favorite play of his actually ended up being an incompletion when he got out of the pocket, rolled to his right, bought time, then climbed back toward the line of scrimmage and found Chris Moore in the end zone, in the back of the end zone, and Moore ends up dropping the ball.
Yeah.
Like, he did everything right. It was kind of a vintage 2024 Jaden Daniels play. And if that's another receiver, maybe they catch it, whatever. It's one of the few times all game where I thought, they, you know, I missed Terry McLaurin because otherwise they were making every catch. But That play to me was like next level, I thought, Jay.
Yeah, I think when you put on the tape and you watch him play, there's a lot of things that he does subtly that not many people will see that are very, very difficult to do for a quarterback. He makes everything look easy. And it's just I just shake my head when I watch his tape. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, he makes five or six plays in a game that he doesn't even look like he's trying. He just makes it look so easy. And they're not easy, trust me. I mean, any other quarterback, it's either a sack or an incompletion. But this guy, he finds a way to make it work. He's got great poise, anticipation, and accuracy, and speed. That's a great combination for a quarterback.
Jay, what did you see from Washington's defense in this game? It looked at a lot of times like Charger receivers were open. They were getting, you know, catches and gashing them, but whether it was an illegal procedure penalty or a hold or something like that, they got bailed out a couple times. But there was also a lot of good getting after Herbert. What did you see from the D?
I did see a lot of good from the D. I think they had four or five sacks. I think it's just, again, they played a great effort, and they were able to get the turnover when they had to, in the red zone, the interception. Obviously, the fumble on Quentin Johnson by Quan Martin was huge. Part of the game, we already mentioned that. But they play hard, and you could tell they're a lot more fresh. They weren't on a field quite as long. I think Dorrance Armstrong is very impressive with the effort he plays with, and I like the rotation they have on a defensive line. Obviously, Luvu and obviously Wagner are playing very high level, and you know they got a little bit better play from the safety play. We mentioned Martin Reeves and those guys, and they covered pretty well. So it was a great effort. You know, it could have gone really, really bad there if Quentin Johnson doesn't fumble, but they kept their head about him. They stayed the course. The fourth down play was great coaching. Nobody was open on the fourth down play where Herbert rolled to his right, nobody to throw to, and guys were hat on a hat, covered up perfectly. And so some of his great coaching, some of his great effort, but the combination of the two makes him a very, very good unit.
Jay Gruden with us on Grant and Danny. One coaching question for you. On the 3rd and 15 from their own 2-yard line, right before the punt and the touchdown that was negated before the half. So they come out at 1:35 to go. Here's the situation. It's 1st and 10 from the 7. They're throwing it, which I like. Then 2nd and 10 from the 7, incomplete. They get a sack. So it's 3rd and 15 after a penalty from the 2-yard line. And they throw again. I think you got to run there and make the Chargers burn their final timeout. It's 3rd and 15 is so unlikely to get. They didn't. They almost get a sack fumble in the end zone. What do you make of that? That was the one time where I kind of didn't really get the plan.
Yeah, that's just having trust in your quarterback and your offensive line. Really, if you really watch that play again, Andrew Wiley got away with the hold. It should have been a safety. He grabbed Derwin James in the back of the neck collar and got the hold. So there's a lot of things that can go bad with the pass, like you're thinking of, with the holding call in the end zone, a sack fumble, whatever it might be. I don't disagree with the fact that you probably want to run it there, but I would never argue letting Jaden have the ball in his hands to try to make a play and get out of the hole.
Jay, something's always driven me nuts, like driven me insane. And I feel like it happens to Washington more than any other team, but it's also because I watch Washington more than any other team, obviously. It's the early second half squandering of timeouts in non-critical situations, whether it's they can't get a play in on time or something's wrong with the operation. You know, after a reasonable gain of like 10 yards, they had to burn a timeout right there at the beginning of the third quarter. And it feels like it happens every single week. Is that something that drove you nuts as a coach? Or you're going, no, it's actually good. Let's make sure we have the right plan or whatever. What are your feelings on that? Because I know as a fan, it makes me insane.
Yeah, first half doesn't bother me as bad. You know, if you have some confusion, you might call the play wrong. Or you have the wrong personnel group in there. Something's wrong with the headset. You want to get the right play in a critical third down or whatever play. Taking a timeout, you know, I always told the quarterback in first half, it's not that big a deal. Second half, you got to leave them all up to me. I got to make all the timeouts. I don't like burning timeouts. They're so critical with all these close games going on. You got to have them at the end of the game. So, yeah, unless it's a critical 3rd or 4th and 1 play, sometimes taking a 5-yard penalty is better off than burning one of those key timeouts. But, you know, it's tough, man, calling all these plays with all these words and formation changes. And sometimes you have a guy hurt. You don't know he's hurt. You're calling a play for him. He's on the sideline. Like, what the hell? Where the hell is he? Call timeout, damn it. There's a lot of things that can go wrong with a play call. And, you know, it's just something you can't stand as a coach. It drives you nuts.
All right, Jay, let's go around the NFL here. Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny. We'll go outside of the Commanders. The Ravens, no Lamar Jackson yesterday. 3-pick game for Cooper Rush. But the story really is their defense. Texans' offense has been awful. They go for almost 50 points and 450 yards or whatever. Just completely eviscerate Baltimore. A lot of injuries on defense. How much trouble is the Ravens in right now?
They're in big trouble. If you can't stop anybody, you're in big trouble. You know, they gave up almost 50 points to one of the worst offenses in the league, offensive lines. The Texans haven't been able to do anything lately, and they just scored 40 or 50. you know, injuries to key players. I mean, they got them all over the place. Their best safety, their best corner, their best pass rusher, their best defensive end, their best middle linebacker. It's hard to function when your best players aren't playing, and the backups to your best players usually aren't very good, and that's what Baltimore's figuring out right now. And they're in big trouble until they get them back. I know Hamilton's coming back soon. Hopefully Lamar comes back. I don't know about Van Noy. I don't know about the corner. So I don't know when they're all coming back, but they need them back bad. Otherwise, it's going to be a long year for Baltimore.
The Eagles got eagled, if that's even a way to put it. They were winning. They probably should have held on to win, and they didn't. The Broncos come storming back with 18 there in the fourth quarter to upset them on the road 21-17. What'd you make of that one?
Yeah, everybody's getting on them for not running Saquon enough. It's very difficult. You got a lot of mouths to feed in that offense, and I think that sometimes the offensive coordinator is starting to worry about what people are writing about him and A.J. Brown's doing on the sideline if he's reading a book. You know, sometimes you got to just regroup and introduce your team to the best player, and that's Saquon Barkley. Now you got to get him the ball as often as possible, and that's what makes their team work, tick. They keep their defense fresh and getting Saquon the ball, and, you know, hell with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You know, they'll get their shots, you know, when they come. But they got to feature Saquon more often. But, yeah, that was a tough loss for him, and a great win for Denver and Bo Nix coming through in the fourth quarter and big-time situation.
38 passes, 11 runs for Philly in that game, and they led by two touchdowns at one point. Like, it's not like, oh, well, they're way behind. I mean, they were at worst down a point, basically, in this football game into the final seconds, and it was a 38-11 discrepancy. This Cardinals loss yesterday was gross, man. They fumble the ball on basically letting the ball go, celebrating DeSean Jackson style at the one-yard line, going in for a touchdown. I mean, that was just one of a few foibles that are like, you got to be kidding me moments that they had in this game. And a 22-21 loss to the Titans. Jonathan Gannon's got to be beside himself watching the tape today, huh?
I don't think I've ever seen as many plays like that that are like, what the hell just happened? You know, the snap almost gives Kyler Murray a concussion, hits him right in the face.
He's in the protocol.
They drop the ball, kick it, and Tennessee scores a touchdown. The guy scores a touchdown. He drops it at the one-foot line. I mean, you can't make it up if you're a Cardinal fan. I mean, but that's the way the Cardinals have been for the last three or four, five, 6 years, even when Cliff was there. I mean, they have stretches of looking pretty good. And look at the Cardinals. They're for real. And then they do stuff like this. It drives you crazy. You can't figure out. And, you know, something's got to give over there. Somebody's got to really stick a foot in somebody's keister and get that team going, because they're pretty talented. They just underachieve every year, in my opinion.
Game of the day, probably Tampa-Seattle, 38-35 final. Tampa with an unbelievable road win. I like both clubs, quite frankly. The Ekbuka is the real deal. He's a star. I like the makeup of the Seattle team. Defensively, they didn't play particularly well. But just your thoughts on both those teams and probably the game of the day.
Yeah, Baker's obviously jumping into the MVP race. He's unbelievable right now. And you mentioned Ekbuka. They're a great football team, and they never blink, whether down or up or whatever. I mean, that just goes to show you what kind of playoff win that was last year for Washington beating this football team. This is a well-coached team. Todd Bowles doesn't get enough credit for what he does with that team defensively and offensively. They do a great job. So I love watching Tampa Bay. They're one of the most fun teams to watch in the NFL right now when I'm sitting at a sports bar eating a chicken wing. I love watching Tampa Bay. I love watching Jaden Daniels. Those are my two teams to watch. And Seattle, you're right, they're fun too. And Njigba is a heck of a player, and Cooper Kupp did some things, and the running game's awesome. Sam Darnold's good, and the defense is usually a lot better. So I think Seattle's going to be a force to be reckoned with at the end of the year as well.
I hated that pick at the end of the game for Darnold. It got tipped, then was off a helmet, but it's just going to go down as, you know, he has a chance to win it, throws the pick, and then the Bucs kick the field goal. But he had gone for three.
That was a Todd Bowles all-out blitz, man. Yep. You never know when they're coming.
He had 3:40 and 4 at that time, Jay. He balled out.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was a hell of a game. But, you know, the teams that make the plays in critical situations, the ones that won, and Tampa Bay did it offensively and defensively, and they deserve to win on the road.
Hey, what'd you think of Drake May last night against the Bills?
Yeah, it's a coming out party for Drake. And, you know, I think that draft class is looking to be pretty good right now. I mean, Drake is a pretty damn good football player. He uses legs. He's athletic. He's got poise in the pocket. So, yeah, I think with Stephon Diggs coming out party as well, that team is coming along too. It's fun this time of year. You start to see the riffraff kind of fall off. Then you start to see these young teams start to emerge, and some of these veteran teams that you know are going to be there, they're still going to be good. And you kind of can narrow it down to about 12 to 13 teams right now that are going to be in the mix at the end. And it's fun to watch right now.
What would you do in your old stomping grounds in Cincinnati? Obviously, minus Joe Burrow, MVP candidate, it ain't pretty, but Browning, when the game was out of reach, all of a sudden, you know, started getting prolific, and they found Jamar Chase a bunch of times. But, you know, he was also responsible for a lot of the bad that got him there. What would you be doing right now?
It's a tough call, you know, because Joe Burrow obviously is their guy, and everybody says, go trade for Kirk Cousins. Yeah, right. How are you going to pay both those two guys? So I don't know. I think you got to stick with Browning. He did a great job coming from behind against Jacksonville, getting a victory there, and had a tough couple of weeks. But I think they just got to stick with him and play better defense. That's easier said than done. But they're going to struggle a little bit. Jake Browning, going from Joe Burrow to Jake Browning is quite a difference. You know what I mean? It's,
yes.
I don't know who else you can turn to. You know, it's just hard in pro football. When your stars get hurt, the backups aren't quite as good. That's what makes the stars the stars. That's why they get paid all the money.
Yeah, no doubt. Jay, phone's breaking up a little bit. We'll let you go. We are done anyway. Thank you for the time. We appreciate you. We'll look forward to next week.
All right, see you.
See you, buddy.
There's Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, or F-150HQ, Ted Britt Lincoln and Chantilly, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Ted Britt for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, see and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
I've got a bill theory I've been workshopping for a couple weeks. It's ready for air, though. I'm going to tell you what I think about Kroski Merritt, and I want to see if anybody wants to tell me I'm wrong. Next on Grant and Danny.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
That's big for the Milwaukee Brewers. Jackson Churio, their young superstar outfielder, is in the lineup. Left with a hamstring injury. It looked like he pulled something going down the line in game one. Huge win for them this weekend, Saturday, over the Cubs in the NLCS. Two National League Championship Series games tonight. Dodgers at Phillies and Cubs at Brewers. 6:08 and 9:08 East time starts in Philly and Milwaukee. So I am plugged in on this like everybody else because I'm a baseball fan, but also I'll be doing NLCS coverage for MLB Network Radio. And Danny, I still don't know where I'm going.
Where are you
going
to go?
Or what games I'm working.
Just tell me which games you're going to and what city.
So I'm either going to be doing games 1, 2, 6, 7, or 3, 4, 5. And I don't know if I'm going to Philly, if I'm going to Wrigley, if I'm going to Milwaukee, or if I'm going to Dodger Stadium.
I was
going to
say L.A.
I don't think I'll go to L.A. just from a sheer travel standpoint. They'll probably geographically have someone on the West Coast handle that one. But I don't know. Let's put our heads together really quickly here. I want to get into Jacory Kroski Merritt in a second. But what would be the best bet for your boy? Here, thinking out loud. I think the energy in Philadelphia in the playoffs is amazing. I would love to go to the bank for a game. I think that would be really, really cool. But Wrigley in October. Come on.
Come on.
Wrigley in October. That's hard to beat. Plus, Chicago this time of year is an amazing city. As good as travel as you're going to get going to Chicago in October. I've never been to the ballpark in Milwaukee.
That's what I was going to say. What about the Milwaukee situation?
I think it's called American Family Field now or something stupid.
It was Miller Park at High Life Field and Miller Place.
So Miller would be amazing for me because I've never been there. Philadelphia would be incredible because I just think it might be, outside of Seattle, the best environment in playoff baseball that there is. Wrigley, need I say any more?
No.
Now, I'm leaving L.A. on the outside, and I've been there for a bunch of playoff games. It's very loud. It's very good. There's almost 50,000 people, and it's historic. Every time I walk into Dodger Stadium, it feels like it's 1984 all over again. But if I was ranking my wants just from a travel standpoint, I think I'm doing on-field stuff, pregame and postgame. I think I'd like to be on the field before a playoff game at Wrigley as my one seed. Number two, I think I've got to go Milwaukee narrowly over Philly. Because, A, it's not the Phillies.
Right, thank
you. I'm kidding, come on.
But seriously.
But honestly, it's because I need to check that ballpark off my list. I'm down to like four ballparks now.
Doesn't that settle it for you? Shouldn't that be what we're thinking about?
No, because watch a game where the Phillies are playing in the playoffs at home. And my God, man.
It's great, but I hate it.
So great.
Yeah.
So great. I've actually thought about, if I wasn't covering it, driving up there for an NLCS game and like taking my kid just to sit in the environment.
Just Phillies pulsing over there. I can't do it with all my former Nats favorites playing for them.
I don't think my wife would let me, if we're being honest, like take the kid for a night game and do an overnight in Philly. I don't think it would work out. Maybe on a weekend I could get lucky. But where should I want to go?
Milwaukee.
Over Wrigley?
Yeah. Because we've done the Wrigley thing. Wrigley's historic. Wrigley isn't changing. This Brewers magical thing where they shouldn't be doing this, and yet here they are with all the wins and, you know, on the doorstep of the NLCS. Like, the small market little engine that could, where it's just like, well, they lost this guy, they got no chance now, and here they are again with the no-name gang. That place will be electric and awesome. It checks a ballpark that you haven't been to off your list.
And so now you're getting to it. For a while there, it sounded like you were saying, why should I root for the Brewers? I'm just saying, where should I want to go do live broadcasts on the field? But you came back to the idea of, I'm checking a ballpark off the list. I think I got to be rooting for Wrigley, though. I mean, do you guys have a thought on this? Like, Dodger Stadium is cool. It's distantly fourth. Ask JP and B. Mitch what flying to L.A. and flying back is like.
It's killer.
You're coming back with a head cold, and, you know, you're in the air for 12 hours. So I think that's fourth for me. Not that I'm not excited to go work and do that if it happens that way.
It's got to be Wrigley. I mean, it's, again, Wrigley Field in October. The wind's blowing out there. The ball is flying. The Cubs fans are great. I would want to go to Wrigley Field in any month, but let alone have it be October, sign me up for that.
What about Milwaukee Tobes?
That's the answer. Milwaukee is awesome. October baseball, it's all they're going to care about. Obviously, they're going to care about the Packers, but people are dialed in. The Milwaukee fan base is great. I'm sure somebody would invite you out to a tailgate. You can get a brat. You can hang out. You can venture around Milwaukee. It's a slept-on city, and it should be before it gets frigid cold in Wisconsin as well. It's a great ballpark to catch a game. Everybody's so nice.
You're saying even though it's not the bank or something, or Seattle, like it's sneaky, really, really good energy.
Yeah, and the environment's going to be great, especially if they're getting past the Cubbies and get past this series.
Yeah, this would be NLCS, like game one against the Dodgers or Phillies.
Yeah, I mean, they feel, they're itching for this because they've had a Packers Super Bowl. They've had a Bucks NBA Finals. They've never had a Brewers World Series. They celebrate the 1982 team that just made it there as if they actually won it all the time. So the environment there, just remembering what it was like in 2018 when they were a game away from getting to the World Series, absolutely would be electric.
All right, so you guys are both Milwaukee. Clary's on Wrigley.
If it was me, while Wrigley would be very high on the list, because it's one of those historic stadiums and places that you got to go to and visit once in your life as a baseball fan, I want to ride the high of what's going on in Milwaukee right now.
I think Milwaukee
is my choice.
It's the sleeping on the it's Fenway if Fenway was good. That's what Wrigley is.
But Fenway's in Boston, though.
Yes, but as I said, if Fenway was good. You have two historic museum amazing ballparks. One of them's not very good. That's Fenway. The other is Wrigley in October. It's gonna narrowly be number one. But however it works out, I'll be fired up. All right, here is my Jacory Kroski merit take, Danny, that I have been noodling in workshop.
How hot is this take?
Give me a temperature.
When I first came up with the take, it was scalding hot. He had never played in an NFL game quite yet. And I was like, I think this is a thing, but I'm not going to go public with this. 2 weeks ago, I think it would have been warm. It wouldn't have burned you, but if there was a washcloth that was the temperature of this take, it would have warmed you up. Today, I don't even know if it's warm anymore. Jacory Crosky-Merritt is the most dangerous running back the Commanders have had or Washington has had since Clinton Portis. Tell me I'm wrong. There's only been one other guy I would say was more productive, prolific, better, whatever you want to say, and it was Alfred Morris, who I covered in 2012 and 2013. He ended up, you know, a couple of years later being around under Jay Gruden. But Alfred Morris was the ultimate one-cut Shanahan zone blocking back, always falling forward, body lean, balance, really, really productive, great fit. But he leaves here, and 2 hours later, he's looking for carries, and 4 hours later, he's out of football. Post-Clinton Portis, and I'm talking about early career Joe Gibbs, Clinton Portis, not like end of his career with Jim Zorn or Mike Shanahan where he's hurt and just, you know, getting a couple carries here or there.
Yeah.
Since the 05, 06, 07 kind of time frame with CP, almost 20, 18 years ago, whatever it is, I think Jacory Crosky-Merritt is the best running back they've had since. Tell me I'm wrong.
Who are the other nominees there?
Alf. Like,
Alf. I'm just thinking beyond Alf. I mean, for a while, the hype train on Darius Geis was unstoppable because of a good preseason performance and a great game against Carolina. People wouldn't stop crowning him. But other than that, there's not a ton of standouts in that regard. I mean, Adrian Peterson was really good, but obviously he wasn't the 2,000-yard Adrian Peterson, but he was a guy that they got for nothing off the scrap heap. But yeah, I don't think there's been that complete running back that has that electric skill set as a runner with everything that I look for. Instead of, there are plenty of guys that have just speed, plenty of guys that have just power, plenty of guys that have just vision. He's got all the different things. You know, the faders are turned up to a pretty significant degree on every element of a guy that's really good with the football in his hands behind an offensive line.
Gibson and Brian Robinson both got a lot of work over the years.
Neither I'd put ahead of JCM.
2021 was a collection of, it was a lot of Antonio Gibson, Jarrett Patterson, let's see. 2020, going back to like the Peyton Barber, J.D. McKissick year, that year their leading rusher would have been Gibson, who went for 800 yards, I think, as a rookie. 2019, Adrian Peterson, the two-year run there in 18 and 19. So maybe he'd be next on the list with Alf. Chris Thompson was always very, very effective, but never a bell cow. Rob Kelly had some success here, you know, was never on the level of Jacory Crosky-Merritt. Before that, it's Alf, you know, really.
It's probably Alf, yeah.
Matt Jones in a fleeting. Remember we did Matt Jones Day?
Yeah.
They drafted in the third round of the University of Florida. I didn't think I'd say his name on the show today, by the way. When's the last time anybody talked about Matt Jones? Do you remember him?
Of course I do.
He played in the United Football League. I saw him play against the D.C. Defenders.
Is that right?
At Audi Field. Alf in 2012, 2013, and then before that, maybe a little Roy Helu, Ryan Terrain, Tim Hightower.
But you hear the list. There's nobody. And he's had one huge, awesome, amazing breakout game that was incredible, talking about Crosky-Merritt, but we all see the skill set, right? So yeah, I don't think that's crazy.
He's their best running back since Clinton Portis. He's better than Brian Robinson was. I think, again, you could debate the Alfred Morris thing, but for me, it's not really that debatable.
Yeah, that's a great scheme system fit. Yes. Where if Alfred Morris went somewhere else, he'd do what he did, which is be okay.
Let's go to Josh in Upper Marlboro and Grant and Danny. What's up, Josh? How are you?
Hey, fellas. Sorry, this is not on this particular topic, but I do have a proposal for you real quick. Can we please make this game the Ben Johnson Bowl? Grant, there are literally millions upon millions of loyal Grant and Danny listeners like your boy who both love Grant Paulson and in almost equal measure hate how much Grant Paulson loves Ben Johnson.
And
hate that infernal sounder. So let's do this. If Ben Johnson goes off and schemes up the Bears for more than 350 yards against us, you play that sounder as much as your heart desires for the rest of the season whenever you get the Ben Johnson tingles. But if we hold Ben Johnson to less than 350 yards, You are not allowed to play that sounder for the rest of the year, and you can't even say his name. Every time his name comes up, you have to call him the Chicago coach.
That coach from Chicago.
Wow.
Or BJ, although that could get weird, or like the guy that I'm not supposed to say, or what have you. The Ben Johnson Bowl. What do you think about that?
Wow. Josh, this is something.
This is a great idea.
Why does everyone think I like Ben Johnson so much? I don't even understand.
Ben Johnson alert.
This is fascinating. Josh. He is coming to town on Monday night.
A week from the night. Hey, and by the way, Grant cannot stop grinning about it.
We got a developing Ben Johnson situation, boys. 350 is a nothing burger. I mean,
they've done it once this year.
Who's done it once this year?
The Bears.
They only have 350 yards once.
The Bears.
That's pretty stunning.
Mm-hmm. Against the Cowboys. So,
yeah.
Bang up job there.
No,
I'm kidding. He's good.
I could take that bet with the quickness.
Yeah, I'd raise the number, Josh.
So let's workshop this. We'll do this next. There's a lot on the line here. The Ben Johnson situation. Could I have to retire the Ben Johnson sounder for the rest of the season? All of our football conversation on The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus, by the way. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's just see if people would be interested in this. What do you guys think we should retire the Ben Johnson sounder and my ability to talk about Ben Johnson on the show if Ben Johnson struggles at Northwest Stadium? 800-636-1067. We'll get into this next on The Fan, and at 6 o'clock you'll hear from the head coach of the Commanders who was hired after the whole Ben Johnson snafu.
The whole kerfuffle.
Yeah, the whole issue, and they were trying to get Ben Johnson. Dan Quinn, that's coming up at 6 o'clock on The Fan.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Those Commanders, they have won a road game, and it was not easy early on. 10-0, they're down. No problem. 27 unanswered. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, 15 yards untouched. Matt Gay, first of a couple field goals. 29 yards, tied the game at 10 before the half. By the way, don't look now, but Gay has made 8 straight kicks. He's 9 of 12 on the season with one miss inside of 50. All is fine for the moment.
Yeah.
We can just put that to bed.
Yeah,
just
a little like patience.
The Jaden Daniels knee conversation, right?
Indeed, yeah. He's been really good. I didn't feel good for a little while, but now I don't think about it again. Let me rephrase. I haven't thought about it in the last several kick attempts.
the touchdown of the day with respect to our guy Bill, who's going to be on the show tomorrow at 5, tell a friend. The 8-yard pass to Deebo Samuel, which was really like looped lollipop style 20 yards in the air. Jaden just fading away, fading away, fading away, fading away, buying time on fourth down, dropping it in the bucket with 108 to play. 27-10 final. All right, so we just had a call. I'm willing to think about this. I'm willing to workshop this with you guys. A caller says that with the Bears and Ben Johnson coming to town, I hadn't even noticed that Ben Johnson's coming to town. Had not even been on my radar. I guess it's true, though, because the Bears are playing on Monday Night Football. It's certainly not something that I'd thought about or talked to the guys about behind the scenes over the last couple of weeks at all.
You started, I think, what's today? So there would have been, we're 2 days shy of a month from when you started talking about it. You started talking before the season opener, September 8th, you talked about it.
No. The first time I even realized Ben Johnson would be coaching at Northwest Stadium with the Bears was when Josh just mentioned it.
No, you did that, I'll let Peck finish. The thing that you do when your lips are smiling, kind of doing like this, Monday Night Football, Ben Johnson, silly, when they lost to Minnesota.
I also don't get, he acts like I love Ben Johnson.
You
I don't
do.
I don't even get that.
Everybody knows you do. It's okay. It's okay.
I mean, Darius, come on.
It's okay.
You guys, behind the scenes, I don't talk about Ben Johnson much or in a way that is different than I would any other play caller in the league, right? I mean, he's a coach. There's 32 of them. 31 of them aren't here. He just kind of blends in with the rest of them.
I'll let Brian Peck speak for me.
I mean, it's to the point that Grant's like, have you seen the post-game content they do? Have you seen it? They put it on social media. He's the only coach that talks to his team after the game. He's not a leader of men, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure. Ben Johnson. You love him so much.
No. That fit with the discussion we were having that day. That's why
about post-game speeches and social media content?
Actually, yes. I was talking about how Jim Harbaugh is one of the cheesiest dudes in the world and how coaches all have these cheesy slogans. And I'm like, have you seen Ben Johnson's? And then I had Darius grab it where he's like, if you're not first, and they're like, you're last. And he's like, if you work hard, good things happen.
Then kiss my ass or something. You know,
it's like a pregame swim meet thing. But Tobes, come on. I didn't know Ben Johnson.
I thought it was weird when you sent us your child's first words being Ben Johnson because you never stopped talking about him at home, too.
Lincoln's first words were Ben Johnson, but that has nothing to do with anything. That is an unrelated.
It's coincidence. That's why guys are named that sometimes. The kids will just say it.
Will's in Manassas. Will, do you think I should do this and risk not being able to say Ben Johnson's name for the rest of the football season?
Hello?
Hi, Will, are you there?
Yeah, that's Wolf.
Wolf. Well, go ahead.
Oh, Wolf.
Yeah. So I'm all for this, and we're going to take this to the next level. And what we're going to do is we're going to treat him like Voldemort and call him he that shall not be named.
Okay. So that's how I have to refer to him. You know what? That shall not be named or who shall not be named?
Whom shall not be named? Whom? Because you're the one naming it.
Okay.
So it's whom.
So is the bet that 350 yards, so 349 in a hook. Is the number, basically.
Yeah, I think that number is too low, personally.
That's the number that he said.
Right, that is. Josh tweeted us just now and said maybe 400. I think 400 is too high.
Yeah, 400 is way too high.
What about, would you accept 375?
No, because you even said the Bears have done that once, and they've actually had offensive games where they were good and didn't do that. Because in this stupid league anymore, with kick returns, every time you turn around, Luke McCaffrey's ripping off a 50-yarder. It takes away yards.
Yeah, it's good punt return. You're like, damn it.
No, I'm not. Yards per game. Right?
Uh-huh.
Are down, I
down.
Would say. Yards per play is the metric you care about. We could do a yards per play thing where it's got to be better than, like, you know, 5.7 or whatever we think the number is that works. Or if we're doing yards per game, I think 350 is probably about as low as we'd want to go, because if they get some short fields, some turnovers, now all of a sudden they got no shot. They can't run the ball. So what are we really talking about? Are we talking about effectiveness? Do we want to go points scored? Do we want to go yards per play? Let's go to Casey in Woodbridge. Casey, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Buddy.
Love the show.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, I would say to make this bet a little bit more interesting, I would probably up the yardage to at least 400. But then you would have to add a stipulation that Chicago can't have more than two turnovers. Like, if they have two turnovers or more, then boom, you lose, Grant.
Well, if you're upping it to 400, you're already making it harder for me. Now they turn the ball over multiple times, and I lose. What am I getting in this deal
what does
that
he
I'm
get?
Swinging exactly? I can't play the Ben Johnson alert for the rest of the year, you guys are saying.
It's taking it away.
I could start playing it again the day after the season when they're in the playoffs.
Yes, that's allowed, I would say.
Darius, can I hear the Ben Johnson alert again? Just because if I'm risking not hearing it again after this weekend, I need to hear it as much as possible now.
Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert.
Ben Johnson alert.
So to me, it's less about the alert.
He ran a fake flea flicker.
I know what
he
did.
Do you understand?
He had a play where the guy tried to fall down.
Fake GD flea flicker guy. No one's ever done it before. No one's even thought to do it.
Andy Reid did it in like 77 times, I'm sure.
Not one time. He runs a play where his quarterback fakes like he's falling over, so the defense goes, oh, he fell.
Andy Reid's got guys doing ring around the posey, pocket full of Parker posey, whatever, on a goal line thing. Like, stop.
I'm sure.
What do you mean you're sure? You should be sure. That's what happened.
No, it's what happened, and that is uninteresting. Next time the Chiefs are interesting on offense will be 2 years from now. They haven't been in 3 years.
Mm. We forget our history a little bit there. They were pretty interesting at one point.
Yeah, when they had great players like Tyreek Hill, they were very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The last 2 years, here's me watching the Chiefs at any given moment. Oh, they found a way to win 23-17, thanks to Chris Jones. Cool. Not interested. Next, Ben Johnson.
Yeah, so that's this is what I want to take
away. That's what this league is about.
I want to take away unsolicited, unprompted Ben Johnson mentions. I want to take it away from pre-show.
Right.
I want to take it away from during
show. Pre-show.
That's what I want.
I
gone.
Can't even mention Ben Johnson not on the air.
That's
outrageous.
I want the casual Ben Johnsoning of everything where you shoehorn it in to go away.
By the way, the
alert to me is secondary because we're misrepresenting the alert. The alert's to make fun of you for the inserting Ben Johnson into everything.
I'm aware of the alert. Yeah. I'm fine with the alert. You just said you don't want me to be able to say it off of the air.
That's what I want.
Off of the air.
That's what I want.
There's no chance I'm agreeing to those terms. That's insane.
I didn't think you would.
How about this? If they score less than 10 points, I'll never say his name again. No, actually, I'm walking that back.
Yeah, don't go full Russell, because there's no upside for you.
I don't trust Caleb Williams enough. Yeah, he'll throw four picks.
Well, my point is, I understand this isn't a great bet for you, right? Where if you just go about your business normally, you can do whatever the hell you want.
And I'm supposed to not say the name of the most creative, incredible play designer the league's ever seen? It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
Right. This one's fair.
A guy that this organization was ravenous to talk to and bring here, and then it all came crashing apart at the seams, and now I'm supposed to hate him like everyone else because he doesn't have social skills? It's just not going to happen. Kyle walked so Ben could run for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. that's what this bet is about.
Kyle's still my first love.
Yeah, that's what this bet is about to me, is ridding us of the casual Ben Johnsoning.
All right, so what should be the terms of the Ben Johnson bet? We'll wrap this up. We'll figure that out next, and then we'll give you Don't Forget About. We'll get back into Commanders Chargers 27-10 win. The locals, the lads, are 3-2. They are on to Ben Johnson's Chicago Bears.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.